The Bobby Soxers used to scream over a skinny singer from New Jersey who later went on to be the very best at what he does. Here's how he sounded when he got his start with the Major Bowes original amateur hour. Could this be Frank Sinatra?
Who'll speak for the group?
I will. I'm Frank. We're looking for jobs. How about it? Everyone that's ever heard us liked us. We think we're pretty good. And we play real swing music, too.
Real modern swing music. Ultra-modern music. What's your tune?
The Chorus of an Aching Heart.
The Chorus of an Aching Heart.
You made me what I am today. I hope you're satisfied. You drag me down and down until the soul within me dies.
Here's Frank and a Western skit with Roy Rogers, Carol Andis, and the old side saddle himself, Bob Hope.
I'll give you the job as the deputies. The first thing you have to do is clear up the Landis Cabaret, the roughest spot in the West. Well, come on, boys. The place is right here ahead of us, just a little piece down the road. There it is, the Landis Cabaret. We'll go right in together. You first, Poison.
Right now?
Yeah, just rush right in.
Take along this mic to hold you up for.
Okay, here goes. Stick him up, everybody. I'm Poison Sinatra, the toughest hombre in the West. And I got this gun pointing at you. You're all scared, ain't you?
Boy, you're ruined when television comes in.
Well, shucks, I don't want to be the only one.
Listen here, son.
Don't you take another step. I show you I mean business. I'll just take my rifle, put it to my shoulder, and pull the trigger. And, and now don't nobody move till I pick myself up.
We're going to clean up the joint.
I wouldn't move in so fast, stranger. I'll pull a bullet right through your brain.
You must be an expert marksman.
Quiet, Super Mouse.
Hey, you're a girl, ain't you?
Yeah, how'd you guess?
Oh, you can't fool us. We've been to county fairs before.
Pardon me, miss. Didn't I see you once in a moving picture?
Oh, don't be silly, Roy. She ain't Gene Autry.
What? I know she ain't Gene Autry, but she's got a shape like his guitar. Oh.
Landis, we hear you're running a crooked joint.
Well, why don't you take your hat off when you're talking to a lady?
I can't get it off.
Why not?
10-gallon hat, 11-gallon head.
You strike me as a man who's been around horses a lot.
I do, huh?
Yes.
You think Lady Esther would help? Come along peaceable like. We're gonna lock up this year gambling joint.
Now wait, I'll show you this place is on the level. Now here's the roulette wheel. I'll spin it for you. I'll spin it again.
Hey, get me off here. I'm getting dizzy.
Now, make your bets, gentlemen.
Okay, I'll bet $500 on the red.
I'll bet $500 on the black.
And I'll bet $500 on the green.
Well, all right, here goes. Well, what do you know? Scotch plaid.
Well, this is the end. I'm going to pinch you.
In the line of duty?
Where else? You can see I got my gloves on.
You ain't gonna take me alive.
Don't move. I got you covered.
Watch out. You're pointing that gun at me. I'm wounded.
Quick, somebody get a bandage.
Oh, I'll rip off a hunk of my dress.
No use talking. I gotta get wounded again.
William Claude Fields was one of the funniest men to appear on radio. Now, usually, he was a guest with Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. Now, let's listen to Edgar, Charlie, and old Red Nose.
Hello, Edgar. How are you?
Oh, hello, Mr. Fields. Hello.
Where's the little woodpicker snack bar?
Well, now, Bill, I can explain everything about that incident.
Explain why your belligerent little bundling board perpetrated an act of sabotage by stretching a wire across my garden path.
Yes, I'd be glad to do that. You see, it was perfectly innocent, Bill. You see, he was setting a skunk trap. That's what he was doing.
Oh, a skunk trap.
Yes, yes.
Oh, that's fine. That covers everything.
Yeah.
Thanks for the compliment.
Oh, well, I didn't mean it that way.
That's okay. Nevertheless, the other evening, as I was traversing my garden in search of flora and fauna, Flora is my cook, you know.
Oh, I see.
Very likable young lady.
Uh-huh.
Makes wonderful crepes.
Yes, well, I believe all that, but that's really none of my
business. Well, I was walking along when I unexpectedly tripped, and the next thing I knew, I was prostrate on terra firma.
Oh.
Which was not unusual in itself, but the circumstances.
Yes, I can believe that. But, Bill, let's get back to the skunk trap, remember?
Oh, you mean Flora?
No. The skunk trap.
Ah, I see what you mean.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you, it was quite an experience.
Yeah.
I broke my femur and fractured my decanter.
Oh, no. Well, now, that does sound rather serious, Bill.
Yes, it was. I hurried to the hospital. Clang, clang, clang.
Clang, clang, clang. Yes, I remember that.
After 2 days in the hospital, I took a turn for the nurse. Worse. Yes, it is. That's secretary.
Yes.
And I took some beautiful x-rays of my leg. 6 reels of them.
6 reels, that's fine. A feature, huh?
What'd
they find, Bill, in your...
Just I expected. They found my leg was hollow.
Is that... tell me, Bill, were you running a fever, too?
No, I had some trouble with a blood pressure.
Oh, I see. Rather high?
90 proof.
Yes.
But a wonderful place, that hospital.
Yeah.
Very comfortable bed.
Well, that helps, yeah.
They even had mattresses on the wall.
When Charlie learns of this, Bill, he'll be very sorry. I know he'll be sorry. And I just want you to know, Bill, that he's ready and he's willing to apologize.
Oh, well, that's quite all right, Edgar.
Oh,
as a matter of fact, I'm very fond of the boy.
Yeah?
Where is the little fire hazard?
Yeah. I think I'll call him in, Bill. Just a moment. Oh, Charlie.
He's not here.
Never mind.
Charlie.
Back
in. I want you to know that Bill is right here.
Yes.
Yes, and he knows all about it.
Uh-huh.
And Charlie wants to talk to you.
Yeah?
Yeah. No.
good evening, Mr. Fields.
What did he say?
I said, good evening, that's all.
Let's not jump at conclusions.
Charlie, I've been telling Mr. Fields that you want to apologize. Now, isn't that right?
Yes, it is. Yes, I do, Mr. Fields. I do.
Well, that's just fine, my little chump. Chum. Yeah. There she goes again. That tell me, my little man, why did you set a trap in my garden? Don't you know there aren't any skunks there?
No skunks in your garden, Mr.
Fields? No.
I'm sorry.
No wildlife, with one possible exception. My place is occasionally infested with a herd of pink mastodons.
Pink mastodons. All elephants.
That's right.
I hear that the elephants around your place take aspirin to get rid of W.C. Fields.
A lovable little nipper.
Well, Bill, it's only the mischief in the boy. That's all it is. That's what makes him say those things. Why, Charlie is his own worst enemy.
Not while I am around, he's not.
Mickey Rooney and the Hardy family made motion picture history from 1937 till about, 1945. They had 15 highly successful films. And in 1942, this series was given a special Academy Award for furthering the American way of life.
Dad, I don't understand these modern girls.
In what way?
Well, Polly, for instance, sometimes she won't let you kiss her at all. But there's Cynthia. Oh, she'll let you kiss her whenever you want to. She doesn't want to swim, she doesn't want to play tennis, go for walks. All she does is want to kiss you. I'm a nervous wreck.
Will Rogers was probably the most famous humorist in radio's early days. There's a story told about old Will. He'd come up to the microphone with an alarm clock set to ring in about 10 minutes. And he'd put the clock on the podium, and then he'd just stand there and talk about the events of the day until it went off. Well, here's a recording from a radio show he did in 1933, 2 years before his untimely death.
It seems strange that we don't hold the automobile speed record. There's millions trying to break it every day. Before we had this high type of civilization, which we're so thoroughly enjoying, why, we used to have wars to get rid of the surplus number of people. A fella in England claimed that he got to heaven and that it was great, and he's sorry that they revived him again.
Remember when soap operas hit upon themes that made it almost impossible for women to identify with them? See if one of these situations fits your life.
Time for Valiant Lady. John Ruskin wrote this. Whenever money is the principal object of life, it is both got ill and spent ill, and does harm both in getting and spending. When getting and spending happiness is our aim, life can be beautiful.
The Guiding Light.
And now, Stella Dallas, the true-to-life sequel as written by us to the world-famous drama of mother love and sacrifice.
In my beautiful memory.
When you talk about soapies, well, you sure can't leave out Ma Perkins, the grandmother of them all. She was literally a member of the family to millions of mothers and housewives for over 30 years. Most of them never missed a single episode.
I tell you why I would like to get home early, Shepherd. I'd like to be there in case Evie stops by.
Evie? Evie, do your marketing today?
Oh, not marketing. Today is Wednesday, meeting day. Meeting of the club, the Jolly 17.
Oh, sweet Jerusalem on a bicycle built for two. The day of days. Evie gets elected president of the Jolly 17. I plumb forgot about it, Ma. Biggest day in Evie's life.
I hope nothing went wrong. Evie sets so much store by that club. And she's done most of the work for so many years. Chairman of this, chairman of that. Been vice president for such a long time, too.
Just Plain Bill was just plain boring by today's standards. But it was the first soap opera that really hit it big with the housewives. Just Plain Bill started back in 1932 and became one of the top serials of the day.
Why, it's you, Mr. Willoughby.
Hello, Bill.
Well, I didn't expect to see you way down here in Hartville again tonight. Why, you look all in.
I am rather tired, Bill. It's been a long, confusing day for me.
Here, Mr. Willoughby, sit down. Let me call Nancy. She's back in the kitchen. I'll have her bring in some hot coffee. Maybe you'd like something to eat.
Oh, no, Bill, thanks. Don't bother Nancy.
Oh, Nancy will want to hear whatever you've got to tell me.
One of these soapy dramas was once narrated by a famous actress, Betty Davis. It was called Whispering Streets. Started in 1953 and left the air about 1960. Maybe this is why.
Hey, look, I want you to meet Pat Kendall, our four-star glamour girl.
Glad to know you, Mr. Crawford.
Not Mr., Doctor. I'm a surgeon of sorts.
Oh. Red, get Dr. Crawford a cocktail.
No, thanks. I'm operating first thing in the morning. But may I bring you something, Miss Kendall?
Yeah, she drinks martinis. Double ones, usually.
Oh, but don't bother, Dr. Crawford. It's awfully crowded around the bar and I'm not thirsty.
That's all right. I told you I was a surgeon. I'll hack my way through the crowd and back again.
I didn't want to drink, really, but I'm glad he's so anxious to do something for me. Here he comes back again. Reg, darling, do me a favor.
Such as?
Scram.
I must say my nose is out of joint.
Good hunting, Pat. Grabbed the first martini I saw, but it's not a double one.
You didn't spill a drop. You've a steady hand.
Well, a steady hand's one of the requirements of my trade. Speaking of trades, are you a model?
No. No, I don't do anything except go to parties and give them.
Do you remember these jingles that became synonymous with the top radio shows of the day?
Brushless shaving cream supreme
leaves your face so smooth and clean.
Pepsi Cola hits the spot. 12 full ounces, that's a lot. Twice as much for a nickel, too. Pepsi Cola is the drink for you.
rinse-o white and rinse-o bright.
L-A-V-A, L-A-V-A.
This is Sandy Becker saying, keep cooking with Crisco. It's all vegetable. It's digestible.
There were many, many detectives during radio's golden days, like Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons, Mr. District Attorney. The afternoon adventure shows kept the kids glued to the radios. Maybe you'll remember some of these.
It's time now for Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons. One of the most famous characters of American fiction and one of radio's most thrilling dramas. Tonight and every Thursday at the same time, the famous old investigator takes from his file and brings to us one of his most celebrated missing persons cases.
Mr. District Attorney. Mr. District Attorney, champion of the people, defender of truth, guardian of our fundamental rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Mr. District Attorney, transcribed, starring Jay Johnston in the title role, Len Doyle as Harrington, and Vicki Vola as Miss Miller.
And it shall be my duty as District Attorney not only to prosecute to the limit of the law all persons accused of crimes perpetrated within this county, but to defend with equal vigor the rights and privileges of all its citizens.
Sergeant Preston of the Yukon.
Hunting, horn you huskies.
Gold, gold discovered in the Yukon. Back to the days of the gold rush. And the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon in their relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
Sky King!
And now, Dick Tracy.
This is Dick Tracy on the laboratory mystery. Stand by for action.
Let's go, men.
Yes, it's Dick Tracy, protector of law and order.
And the pirates!
Jack Armstrong!
Jack Armstrong!
Jack Armstrong!
Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy!
Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys! Show them how we stand! Ever shall our team be champions, known throughout the land!
The thrilling adventures of Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy.
Remember when the bad guys were all kept under control by a radio hero they call the Man of Steel? Superman was created in 1938 and made his radio debut on the old Mutual Network in the early 40s. Here's how he sounded then. Now, if you knew he was the crew-cut guy with glasses, would you have listened? Yeah, the original Superman was none other than Bud Collier.
The Adventures of Superman.
You expect me to believe a fantastic story like that? Impenetrable skin.
Don't laugh, Dr. Raymond. This is hardly a laughing matter.
You've just revealed something to me. I, in turn, intend revealing something to you, something that has never been revealed before.
Well, how interesting. What is it?
You've confessed that you are the voice. Now, I shall make a confession. I am Superman.
Every radio program had some sort of sound identification, and Smiling Ed was one of the strongest. He opened each of his programs with a singing introduction, which also served as a commercial for his sponsor.
Hi, kids, you better come running. It's old Smiling Ed and his Buster Brown gang. Yeah!
The gang of Buster Brown is on the air. The happy gang of Buster Brown is on the air. We laugh and frolic and sing and play. Come on, you buddies, and shout for me. The air.
Say, do you remember when kids used to sing this song at the breakfast table? Cream of Wheat sponsored the Let's Pretend show every week for years and years.
Cream of Wheat is so good to eat, yes, we have it every day. We sing this song, it will make us strong, and it makes us shout, hooray! It's good for growing babies and grown-ups too, to eat. For all the family's breakfast, you can't beat Cream of Wheat.
Cream of Wheat. Great American Family Cereal presents Let's Pretend.
If you're a late-night TV watcher, here's a sound you'll recall that introduces the late-night horror movie. Actually, it was used in the early days of radio to introduce Inner Sanctum. Now you know where you heard it before.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum. This is your host to welcome you in through the squeaking door to another half hour of horror. Come in, won't you, and sit down. I hope you'll forgive me if I don't get up, but I'm terribly tired. I spent last night with a friend who's a book collector, specializes in bestsellers. He certainly showed me some interesting ones. In fact, he tried to bury me in one, because all the very bestsellers have corpses in them.
In 1938, radio created a national panic second to none. The invasion of New Jersey by Martians and reports that spaceships were sighted throughout the land. Well, you guessed it. The still-talked-about War of the Worlds broadcast of Orson Welles. Fortunately, we survived, as did Orson Welles, but radio ran into its first real obstacle as a result. Here's what caused mass hysteria and the intervention of the Federal Communications Commission.
Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations present Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the air in The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. From the Meridian Room in the Park Plaza Hotel in New York City, we bring you the music of Raymond Raquello and his orchestra. The touch of the Spanish, Raymond Raquello leads off with La Campesita.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News.
It is reported that at 8:50 p.m., a huge flaming object, believed to be a meteorite, fell on a farm in the neighborhood of Grover's Mill, New Jersey, 22 miles from Trenton. The flash in the sky was visible within a radius of several hundred miles, and the noise of the impact was heard as far north as Elizabeth. We have dispatched a special mobile unit to the scene, and we'll have our commentator, Carl Phillips, give you a word picture of the scene as soon as he can reach there from Princeton.
A bulletin is handed me. Martian cylinders are falling all over the country. One outside of Buffalo, one in Chicago, St. Louis. Seem to be timed in space.
Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. The program began in 1933 and was on the air until 1951. For most of the years, it was sponsored by a breakfast cereal. And for the appropriate box top and 25 cents, listeners could receive such premiums as whistling rings, hikometers, and secret decoders. Announcer Jim Amici played the lead for the first 6 years on the air, but then Charles Flint took over as Jack Armstrong. Every day, millions of listeners heard programs like this.
Come on, Billy. We're going inside there and find out.
What is the mystery of Quiet Haven? Something happened inside that roadhouse. What was it? Oh, boy, you will want to know, and so will I. So be sure, all of you, to listen in Monday to the next exciting episode of Jack Armstrong and the Black Vulture.
Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand. Ever shall our team be champions, known throughout the land.